Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of the Sunday School Picnic and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Here is the Sunday School Picnic. Their song, It's a Miracle.
What drives the stars without making a sound? Why don't they crash when they're spinning around? What holds me up when the world's upside down?
I know, it's a miracle.
Who tells the ocean where to stop on the sand? What keeps the water from drowning the land?
Who makes the rules? I don't understand.
I know, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
The birds how to build a good nest.
How can the geese fly so far without rest?
Why do the ducks go south and not west?
I know, it's a miracle. What makes a brown seed so tiny and dry? Burst into green, grow up so high, and shoot out blossoms of red by and by. I know, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle. To know that God is with me wherever I go.
It's a miracle, as big as can be, that He can make a miracle of me. A miracle of me.
When a spring makes a brook, and a brook makes a stream, the stream makes the river water fresh as can be. Who puts the salt in when it gets to the sea?
I know,
it's a miracle. There are thousands of people in cities I see. The world must be crowded, as crowded can be.
But God knows my name, and He cares about me.
I know.
Today's message is entitled, Blind Sight. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, and I'll be reading selected verses. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made with mud the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes. And he said to him, Now go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, Is it he? Others were saying, No, but it's someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. Now they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask how he had received his sight. He said to them, Well, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. And he said, I think he's a prophet. They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Now Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Amen. Judy's dad was a builder, and he grew up in the middle Kentucky around Somerset, Kentucky. The work on the farm as a young man was really very hard, and most of the work was done by hand labor. While Bud was in his 20s, he moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. And after a successful experience in the appliance business, well, Bud took a challenge of becoming a home builder. One thing led to another, and finally another, and another, and so many houses, and finally he was building whole subdivisions. His boyhood memories of hard work and little pay gave him, I think, a real passionate desire to succeed. For Bud Collier, every day was a new challenge, and he worked with every ounce of energy he had. I witnessed that many times. One afternoon, while he was inspecting one of his homes, he stepped out of a house into the driveway and stepped on a board that had a large nail protruding from it. He didn't see the nail, but it went right through his foot. Well, the doctor said the foot would heal, but he needed to take a tetanus shot to prevent infection and blindness. A few days later, Judy's dad was blind in his left eye. There was nothing that could be done. The shot was too strong for his system. With the grief for the loss of the sight of one eye, but gratitude for the sight in the other, he moved ahead with his life, and his business grew. Often he would have 50 to 100 homes under construction at the same time. Now one winter, the temperatures dropped way below normal. Dozens of his homes were flooded because of bursting pipes. Now these homes were still under construction, and the losses were devastating. The pressure was tremendous, and he needed rest, but he really wouldn't take it. One evening, without the slightest warning, it happened. The doctor said he wasn't sure how much damage had been done by the heart attack, but it took its toll. Now, friends, if you had known Bud Collier, you would understand that when the thaws came and the grass turned green, Bud was back building fine homes. Now, he had a passionate dream to live on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Whenever life got too complicated and the pressures were too tough, he often found a respite in the sight and the sound of tropical beaches. Well, his dream came true. Still in his 40s, Bud and Eva and their son Richard moved to sunny South Florida. Within the first year, he was already back into the building business. This time, he was building small motels and duplexes and so on. And well, his life was full of energy and enthusiasm for everything he did. We rarely ever thought of his partial blindness or his heart attack. It certainly didn't slow him down a bit. It was one Sunday morning a few years later. Bud and Eva were getting ready to go to church. Bud complained that there was a grayness in his vision, but it cleared up and they went on to church. Not long after worship began, a blood clot discharged in his system and found its way to the vessels in his right eye. Now he was totally blind. There is more to this story, though, good friends. The time of this total blindness was a time of the greatest growth in his walk with Christ. There was a presence of God in the whole family. His son Richard and his wife were active in evangelism. Judy and I were already getting ready to go into ministry, and Bud had taken a very active role in his church and in his community. His spiritual eyes were being opened as his physical sight was lost. Now, as I think of his life today, I realize then that my young eyes and my spirit could not understand the grief he must have experienced. You see, while I'm sure there were days filled with sorrow for him, I never heard him complain. I know he felt the grief of it. When our children would come to see him, he played with them like nothing was wrong. You know, I think it was his spiritual sight that gave him the vision and courage to play with the children that he could not see. As he was walking, Jesus saw a young man who was blind from birth. Now, you may have forgotten, but this man is the only person in the whole New Testament who was healed by Jesus who had been afflicted since birth. And I hope you'll read that story. You need to read all of it. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Now, we do not know how old the man was, but we do know that he had never seen anything. He had nothing to remember. He had no recollection of faces or landscape. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him to all of a sudden be able to see? Remember a time when you were in the dark room, kind of groping along the wall, trying to find a light switch, and then the fear that left you when you could see? Now, the disciples said something to the blind man. They said, "I wonder what he did wrong. Why would God have punished him?" Oh, well, it may have been his parents that were bad, and God punished them through him. Then some well-meaning neighbor saw him and wouldn't even believe that it was him. "Nope, that's not him," they said. "The guy we know is a beggar, and he always has that red and white cane and the tin cup." Well, friends, guess what else happened? The Pharisees said the whole thing was a hoax because Jesus healed the man on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and they personally knew that God wouldn't do something like that on Sunday morning. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Especially since there had never been any record of a blind man being healed in church or anywhere else for that matter. Now the neighbors could not believe it. The priests were scared that it might be true and make them look bad because they didn't do it. His parents were afraid to admit it because they knew they would be kicked out of church, out of the synagogue by the frightened priest. And the formerly blind man was confused by the whole thing. All he could say was, All I know is that I was once blind and now I see, and it was Jesus who made the whole thing happen. Now, there is so much packed in these verses, but there's a couple of things you need to know and to understand why the gospel writer wanted us to know this story. First, here's one thing. It was important to know that the blind man was blind from birth. Why? Well, because if he had recently been blinded, there would have been a way to explain it. They could have blamed it on something he did or the man did. It could have been God's way of punishing him. Now, friends, let me stop. You and I know that God does not do things like that. Don't ever let anyone say that to you. Now, another thing is that Jesus is the one who takes the initiative to heal the man. The man didn't even know to come to Jesus, but Jesus took the initiative. The blind man did not even suspect that he could be able to see. You see, there had never been a blind man healed before in all of known history. Now, here's the third thing. You'll have to read it to really catch it. The blind man first recognized Jesus as a man. Then he recognized him as a good man, then as a kind of superman. And then he calls Jesus a prophet, but finally he recognizes Jesus as the Son of God. You see, the Pharisees saw everything that happened, but they refused to believe it. Now, isn't it strange? I mean, those who were supposed to know all about faith were actually blind and refused to accept Jesus as the miracle of God. And then it was the blind man who really saw the whole thing and believed finally. Judy was in the hospital room with her dad. Just a few minutes before he died, he began to describe the beauty of the day and the flowers in the room. He said he had seen Jesus and it was so beautiful. Now, those in the room were reassured by his words, but they thought he might have been sort of hallucinating because of some kind of drug. Now, while he was talking, his son Richard came into the room. Before Richard could speak, his dad turned to him and said, "Son, what are you doing here? You should be in school." Now, that's the truth. Now, you see, that his human sight was restored in those last few minutes was a miracle to all who experienced it. That he could see Jesus and the beauty of heaven was evidence of the resurrection. And you see, that's the point of the whole gospel. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
Dear friend, have your eyes been opened? Have you seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? You can. Don't be blinded by unbelief. Let Jesus open your eyes that you might see him who is the Lord of glory. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. When I was a little boy, we always had to give up something for Lent. One year I gave up candy. But since Lent is only 40 days till Easter, well, it wasn't so bad because, as you know, there is actually 46 days till Easter. But Sundays really don't count. So on Sundays, we could eat all the candy we wanted. Not long ago, I read the prophet Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Joel said, "Rend your hearts and not your clothing," is what God desires from us. You see, what he meant was, it's not what we give up on the outside that matters. What really matters is what we give up on the inside. You know, it's like giving up anger towards someone or some way I'm being selfish, or maybe it means to call a friend with whom I'm estranged. Whatever it is, we have to figure it out for ourselves. For sure, in our world, the most needed thing is for all of us to learn to have more care and compassion for one another. But you see, those things come from within us, and sometimes it's hard to do. But I want to pledge with you that I am working seriously on what to give up, like Joel talked about. And I want to thank you for calls and emails reminding me that you're listening. Please check in when you can. Our website is methodisthourinternational.com. Or you can call or text me direct, 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. Rend your hearts and not your clothes. God's grace to you. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.